Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Fisherman Ministry South Carolina Sunday morning service.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How y'all doing this morning? Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, I was reading a little bit of scripture this morning. There's a few things that are on my mind, and I think I'll just go right to Numbers chapter 14, and I'll just start at verse 1 here. And you know what's going on here in Numbers is the Moses sent out spies, or the Lord told Moses to send out spies and to check out the promised land, that rather see if the land was fat or lean. And there, I might just tell it. And the spies came back, and they were saying, "Yeah, it's the land's full of milk and honey, man. The land's definitely fat, but there's giants over there, guys. Man, they will destroy us, those giants." Save two, you had Joshua and Caleb. You know, Joshua and Caleb's report was, "Man, let's go take it. Let's go take the land." And but the people murmured, and those 10 other spies, there's 12 of them, and those 10 other spies, you know, deceived the people. Brought doubt in their heart, brought doubt in their minds about them being able to go over there and take the promised land. And here we are. Let's just start in 14. It'd be better for me to read it. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Then they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. And give it to us in a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And wanted the congregation about to stone them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of them a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people, and they might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the third, upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. You know, here's Moses. Has that anointing of God on him. And is making interception. I mean, here they are about to, you know, stone these guys, and here he is making intercession for the people. Oh, where was I? 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You know, I look at this, and every day we have the opportunity to believe God or not. You know, every day we have an opportunity to actually trust the Lord in everything we're doing. You know, I tell you, I got that opportunity every day ever before me, and so do you guys. You know, I go to work. My work is crazy. I got 500 customers coming through that door every day, needing needs and wants, and I got a group of guys that are focused to serve these people and get things organized and to get them going and to serve these people. And it's an overwhelming day every day, just about. Some are not so bad as others. Some are worse than others. But every day, I have that opportunity to trust the Lord in what I'm doing. Trust the Lord that He's going to get me through that day. And get the people that's working for me through that day. Every day. And He delivers me every time. He's delivered me when I have not believed Him or trust Him. I make it through the day. But what do I minister out through that day? What do I minister out through that day? Do I minister the love of Christ? Or do I minister fear and death? You know, I mean, the Lord has delivered me and I have a testimony, which all of us do. We have a testimony of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And that choice is ever before us. Who are we going to see, serve? Who are we going to trust? I mean, there's a time, guys, when we're babes in Christ. And we have these tribulations and the Lord shows up and we're in doubt and unbelief in these situations. And we don't see, you know, how the Lord's going to deliver. But the Lord just delivers us, you know? You know, He starts to prove Himself to us. Showing us that He's real. Showing us that He can be trusted. Did He not do that same for the children of Israel? He did the same thing. But see, they're at a point now where He has showed Himself. He has showed Himself. He has showed Himself. He has showed Himself to the people. But yet they still have been walking in unbelief. You know, and then there comes a point in our walk, guys, where the Lord has shown Himself, showed Himself, showed Himself. But what do we do with that? Are we going to have the spirit of Caleb there? and have trust in the Lord and say, yes, that land is good. It is good for us for the taking. Because the Lord delivered us. The Lord promised us this land. And we're going to take it. You know, Caleb got to see the promised land. Those others didn't. Because of why? Unbelief. So there does come a point, guys. There does come a point where we, you know, I can go throughout my day and I can go into work and I can say, oh, this is too overwhelming, Lord. I can't do this. Well, slap me upside the head, man. What are you talking about? Has the Lord not delivered you every time out of this situation? Has the Lord not delivered you, Philip, when you were in mighty need of mercy and grace and He's given it to you? Has not the Lord provided for your family and your kids this far? What are you thinking? And let me tell you, that's a fight. That's a fight to believe that. Even though I've seen how good the Lord is and tasted that the Lord is gracious, mightily gracious in my life, I still got this carnal man that does not want to believe God. He doesn't. And it wars, and I gotta rebuke that thing, and I gotta take it by the throat and cast it down, man. Say, no. We're gonna get through this day. The Lord's gonna deliver us. Come on, guys, let's have a good time. And you can see it. There's times in the days where stress is coming. And they, you know, people are getting frustrated. The phone's ringing off the hook. There's people, air pressure checks outside the door. We got one guy needs to get out of here or he's going to try and he's walking out the door. He's tired of waiting. And we got 10 cars on the board, man. And the guy's going, I can't freaking think. I'm going every which way. I know, bro, I am here too. But you know what? We're going to get through it. In Jesus' name. Here, this is what I want you to do. Just concentrate on that. Don't worry about it. Here, this is what I want you to do. Concentrate on that. Don't worry about it. Here, this is what I want you to do. Concentrate on that. Don't worry about it. And you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. And these guys are looking at me to direct them. I don't have a clue. I've done it every day for a long time, but I still go, duh. So it's not I'm drawing off my own knowledge and experience. Yeah, there's some experience that you gain there, of course. But you know who I have to trust in the midst of that so that I don't freaking lose my cool? Because on the inside, and the carnal man is going, clock out, run away. I have to trust the Lord. You know, my authority suggested something to me that I kind of found when I first heard it ridiculous. He said, pray over all the vehicles that you bring into that car, into that shop. Bless them, anoint them. You don't know what that will do. You have opportunity to minister wherever you're at. That's what he tells me. Bless and anoint the tires. Pray over them. You know, at first my carnal mind, of course, was going, really? You serious? All right, I mean, I will. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it sounds kind of weird. So what? Do it. Praise God. You know what I've learned about doing that? It blessed me so much. One is, I don't know what that anointing is going to touch in somebody's life. It could be somebody that needed grace that ends up finding it because of the anointing's on that vehicle. It could be a devil worshiper that does not want to turn to the Lord and it be judgment for him. Whichever way, praise God. Amen? But what else it did? You know what it did for me? You know that scripture, pray without ceasing? It's a constant avenue of seeking the Lord throughout the day. A constant focusing on the Lord. And you know, I could see it because I get caught up and I forget to start praying over these cars. And then I can see I'm getting stressed out. I'm getting overwhelmed. Things are going a little bit, it's going crazy. Things are going crazy or not, but it's what, where's my focus at? Where's my heart? Where's my trust at that moment? Am I going to be that thermostat on the wall that believes God? Or am I going to be like the children of Israel where I just see the giants and say, oh, well, oh man, they're going to kill us. You know, where am I going to be at in the midst of this? But it's a constant avenue. And when I see that, I've been forgetting to pray over these cars a little bit, man. I've been losing that touch. I've been getting caught up. Then I'm going, man, I'm going, stuff's stressing me out. I don't understand what the deal is. And I was like, you know what? My focus has been on the situation, not on Jesus Christ. Not on Jesus Christ. So I share this with you. Because it's important. You know, we want to make God our Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus sacrifice was perfect and holy. And it was a perfect obedience to the Father. And He took our sin for us. And if we're going to say we have faith in Him to resurrect us from the dead as He did His Son Jesus Christ from the dead to eternal glory, and He's going to resurrect us in that same way, or at His coming, we're going to meet Him in the air. But if we're going to say we have faith to do that, but we don't have faith enough to believe Him throughout the day, and to believe that He's going to deliver us through the trials and tribulations throughout the day, don't fool yourselves. Don't kid yourselves. You know, we have the opportunity to practice this faith now. You know, also I had another thing that came to my mind this morning. I want to go to Hebrews 10. And you know, the other thing I want to mention, something else just came up. The other thing I want to mention is, you have Noah in the ark, and you know, Noah believed God. And you know, that was, the report of Noah was that he walked righteous before the Lord. Why was Noah righteous? Because he believed God. If Noah didn't believe God, he wouldn't have built that ark. But Noah believed God. And his proof of his belief was that he built the ark, was the obedience to God. See, we can say we believe God, but the proof is that we're going to do His Word. Because what? We believe His Word. Amen? Look, it's not by our own righteousness or what we do. Let's not get this confused. Because many people do. It's not by our own righteousness or what we can do that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Okay, it's not. It's about the faith in Jesus Christ and His obedience unto the Lord, His righteousness, not ours. But if we totally believe God, we will obey Him and His Word. We will obey His Word. That is the sign that you believe Him. Okay? You had Caleb believed God because he was ready to take the promised land, and he did. He was with the second generation that did. Same with Joshua. Okay? The other children of Israel, I don't know if they said they believed God or not. I'm sure there was a time that they did. But the proof was that they didn't. Because what did they do? Those guys are giants. What, did the Lord bring us out of Egypt to become prey and our children to become prey? That's what their attitude was. And I look, the saving grace that was Noah was he believed God. He built that ark. And that ark was the saving of his family. You know what Jesus is? It's type and shadow to me of Jesus Christ. Jesus being that boat to eternal salvation. And it said about Noah in that is that the Lord shut the door. Okay, we don't want to come to that place like the children of Israel. You can see the children of Israel said, this generation is not going to be taking the promised land because they believed not me. You know, what's that? Except for the two old geezers, Paul said. And I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't want you guys to be a part of that. You know, I want to be on that boat. That was the life. Jesus Christ is the life. We abide in Him. And nothing to worry about. We believe that His sacrifice is what? Sufficient for me. It covers all my sin. All of it. And cleanse me from what? All unrighteousness. It doesn't hold back. The Lord wants you to know Him. The Lord wants you to know Him. He's good. That's what He tried to do with the children of Israel. He delivered them out of Egypt. And how many signs did... I mean, look, man. Moses came to the children of Israel and they go, do what? We're going to become out of this land and become a nation? Yeah, right. But how many plagues? I mean, all those plagues and everything that fell upon Pharaoh and hit in Egypt and did not hurt the children of Israel, that was just the Lord proving how good He was to the people. And yet when it came down to this point, it's like they came unto the Proverbs 31 where I will laugh at your calamity. Because I have proven myself to you. I have extended out my hand to grace to you. And yet you slapped it away. And yet you slapped it away. You know, and I'm looking at Noah in the boat and I'm seeing where the Lord shut the door. It was too late for anybody else, man. I don't want that to happen to me, man. Not one bit. And we have that opportunity, like I said, every day to what? Practice that faith in the Lord. Every day. Trust in Him fully. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how messed up you made it. It doesn't matter how big the situation is. The Lord is bigger than that. And if you would just put your faith and trust in that and not in the world and the other things and what you see in your carnal mind is the biggest thing. Watch Him move. Watch Him move. I'm standing up here before you today. I wish some of you guys could see me 6, 7, 8 years ago. Not that I want to become in that state again, but I was a drug addict. I almost died of many times. I was a mess. I'm one base son of a gun, man. There's nothing special about me. But the Lord is good. And He says, I'll love you. I'll forgive you. I'll pardon all that. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. One bit. But the Lord was good. The Lord is good. Where was I going? In Hebrews 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But no sacrifice there is a remembrance again made of the sins every year. For it is not possible that blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings to sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Oh, let me read that again. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Stop right there. The law was before Christ to show people that they needed Christ, that they needed grace. It was impossible to keep all the law. And that was good, because that put all the focus and the trust on God's grace. And we can see that the offerings of bullocks and bulls was not sufficient to take away the sin, not one bit. But it was Jesus Christ and that perfect obedience to the Father. And without sin, became sin for us and took the sin of the whole world. Took the sin of the whole world. And but what we need to do with that? Believe it. And believe that He was resurrected from the dead in the power. That in like manner He's going to do the same with us. Because guess what? We're all going to die. This flesh, that is, will die. It's where our soul abides. Now our soul right now can abide in the eternity and the salvation of Jesus Christ right now. And that's what we need to be practicing right now. It's a belief on Him. A belief on Him. This thing is going to go down. And this thing is enemy of God. It's a cursed thing. This flesh, that is. Let's not go with it. Because we have two choices there. Are we going to believe this cursed thing? Or are we going to believe the Almighty God who has made way salvation for our soul and has taken the curse out of the way, that we don't have to obey it no more, but obey Him? And look, guys, when we're abiding in Him, we are His body. You know, Peter talks about, for if we suffer in the flesh, we shall cease from sin. Let me tell you, man, this thing on this is the world. This belongs to Satan. But we're called to another kingdom. Did not Jesus suffer? He suffered. He was obedient unto death. Did not our apostles suffer? Yeah, they suffered. But they were obedient to the Lord. You look at Paul, the apostles brought many of the Gentiles to the Lord. Shared the Lord's grace with them. Actually, Jesus is the way. But if we're His body, man, don't you think also that we're going to have a little bit of tribulation? So much of the tribulation is not what others do unto you or you because you preach the gospel and they want to stone you. No, our tribulation is ourselves in this carnal mind and putting this flesh down. Because if you put this flesh down and you're obedient and truly walking with Him and I've put this thing down, what others do, it won't matter. You're just going to be quick and ready to do what the Lord's done is going to have you do. And that's it. That's what Jesus did. He was to do Your will, O God. Guess what our position is now, if we're His body? To do Thy will, O God. In whatever manner that form that looks like. To some I heard Peter, I don't know how true this is, but to some I heard Peter was hung on a cross upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be hung like Jesus was. But it didn't matter because what was the most important thing to him? To do Thy will, O God. Look at Stephen. Was stoned. It didn't matter. Because he was obedient to the Lord. It was to do Thy will, O God. It didn't matter the consequence. Death had no dominion over these guys. It didn't matter. Take John the Revelator. They tried to kill him. They couldn't. John had a right revelation. God was going to see to it that he did. He's going to see to it that he did. Dipped him in oil. Came back out. Still alive, hot boiling oil down. Still alive, poked out his eyes. Put him on the island because they couldn't shut him up. Couldn't kill John. I don't know, that might have been where he wrote Revelation. Paul the Apostle, how many times did he get stoned? Twice. Didn't matter. To do Thy will, O God. You know, and that's the same kind of attitude we need to have. It doesn't matter. I'm here to do Thy will, O God. And I pray to the Lord that I don't have these. It puts more on me than I can stand. But guess what? He promises that to me too. He promises that to me too. But the Lord's good, man. Amen. And what the Lord's done for us, man, no man can take away. What He's done for you, Jeremy, Lord, no man can take that away. What He's done for you, James, no man can take that away. What He's done for you, Brad, no man can take that away. See, the same goes with all you. No man can take away what the Lord's done for you guys. And that lasts forever. So let's take that testimony of what the Lord's done in our lives and let's run with it. Amen? And that'll look many different ways. But no matter what situation you are in, have faith in God. Have faith that He is far. I mean, He created. We sing that God. Our God is an awesome God. He created heaven and earth. The sky, the heavens, the birds, the dogs, the trees, us. He created all that. You think anything's too big for the Lord to handle? Heck no. But guess what? Our carnal mind tries to tell us that. And we can just put that down. Put your foot on it. Say, I'm not putting up with it no more. The Lord's good. And we all have a testimony of that. So let's run with that. Let's take how awesome and good the Lord is and let's run with it. And He's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. All. Let's repent. Let's receive that. Let's repent of that unbelief that we let fester up. and that unrighteousness that we let fester up. And let's believe on Him and His righteousness and walk in that. That's what we're called to do. So, okay, the thing with Peter did not happen. That was a lie from the Catholic Church. But John did write that revelation on the island. So praise God, I got one of them right. Forgive me, guys. Thank you, Davey.
What? The internet delay. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it is not hard to do. It's just hard to remember. Right?
Yeah.
However many times you have to do it, you have to do it. And the heart of the matter is, if your heart is to seek Him and His righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. Not going to want for anything. Philip hit on a couple things that I want to talk about. And I'm going to look at Romans 8 and Philippians, and I could look in other places too, but I don't have all day, so I'm going to look at these. You look at Romans 8, you just, after you get, after Paul hammers the world and the would-be believers, it kind of gets personal. he hammers me. And I deserve it. But I sure am glad he wrote Romans 8. Because that what leading up to that was kind of brutal. And let's see. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. But if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His spirit that dwelleth in you. You got that contorted look on your face. What's the problem?
Nothing. I'm trying to find out where you're at.
What verse?
Romans 8.
I started in 10, I think. I did forget to mention that, didn't I? Well, now that everybody's confused. But the spirit of Him that raised Jesus up, raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His spirit that dwelleth in you. That's going to give life. This body is dead. It's cursed. But He can animate it to glorify Himself here. And that's good news, because otherwise we're just pretty much toast. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So if, and I read that in Colossians, it says to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And how do you do that? Well, it's done by the Spirit that dwells in you. And it's not necessarily an individual you hear, but it is certainly the body of Christ, the corporate. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And let me go over to Philippians. If you needed a second witness about the corrupt nature of our flesh. Not before I go over to Philippians. If you go back to 6 in Romans 8, be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's about who is in control. Who do you get? What do you get? What do you feed your mind? What do you dwell on? Like Philip was talking about, as he, the more he started praying, the more the Lord actually started dwelling with him. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'd be tickled, slap silly to be taking my car to a place where when they're working on the tires, they're praying over it. That's a service that's free, right? And it's, that may come in real handy as I take the car out and start going down the road. You know what I'm saying? You're taking your life.
Guys, you got
So, I mean, it is about 2 Corinthians 10. It's about the mind. It's about the mind, what you give your mind to do. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It is your enemy. So, you subject your mind to the spirit that is life. And that's why when the body's together, we have fellowship. And we have that, the spirit. We're subjecting ourselves to each other's presence and this the spirit that gives testimony of the life that is in us. Back and forth. It's a unique relationship. And you only have it when you're in the body. And the body is complete. That's one of the reasons why you want to come together as a body and not forsake the fellowship of the saints. We go over to Philippians like I promised. Verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto His glorious body, fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Our bodies are vile, they're corrupt. They're cursed, they're going to die. But we don't have to go with it.
Amen.
That's why Jesus came. And then all we have to do is to put our minds towards seeking Him and His kingdom and His righteousness, and let all these other things work out for themselves. Then we win. We can have eternal life. We can have fellowship with Him. We can have fellowship with each other. And we can know His love and partake of His divine nature. That's about it, Brad. Come on up.
Sorry, I want to say one more thing. Something else hit me when Paul was speaking about in Romans where we're quickening our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. It says by the Spirit there. You know, one of the things that David has taught me is so cool. He's like, you want to kill a thing? Starve a thing. You know what? The more we yield to the Spirit and belief in Jesus Christ, we're starving the flesh. The more we yield to that flesh, the more that flesh grows and that carnal man gets bigger. So we have that. And let me tell you, it's like every time I wake up in the morning, that big old nasty carnal man's a freaking monster. Had 8 hours of growing and being a worse man just by me sleeping. But that, we can put that thing down right away. Right away. No power over us.
They're not probably going to get to hear or finish our music. Steve is up next in the church in Vermont. Y'all stay tuned for that on the Eagle Radio Network. And we're going to close it out.